With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
You're listening to Achtung the Wall, broadcasting from the beautiful South Birmingham. Accept no substitute.
Hello, good morning and welcome, dear listeners, to Achtung Millwall. With a guest I've wanted to get on for some time, actually. It's Mr. Doug Hume, our Swedish correspondent. Good morgen, Doug.
Good morning, Nick.
One of my Swedish listeners is, forgive me, we have a lot of Scandinavian listeners, so forgive me for that murdering of
the Swedish. Well, the good thing in Sweden is you don't have to say the G, so morgon becomes moron, and you don't say good morning, you just walk around saying moron to people.
Welcome back to the show, Doug. It's been a while since we've spoken, mate, so good to have you on.
Thanks for having me.
Shocker of a game to choose.
To be fair, it was better than last Saturday. To be fair, just.
It's the lineup yesterday. I don't know how you saw it, Doug. I couldn't argue with the lineup, and I was actually quite pleased to see Matt Smith starting up front as our lone goal scorer. But it was a game of no shots on target. I mean, I think that's the one statistic I've picked up this morning that is. It's very hard to get your head around, isn't it?
I think we had two chances, didn't we? There was Hutchinson at that free header from a corner, which I think the ball ended up where Ricardo Fuller's shot ended up a few years ago. And then Matt Smith had a sort of decent cross from Mahoney. That's again, 6 yard line free header, and not quite sure where it went. But
No.
We had enough to win it, but so did they, to be fair. Probably more so.
I thought it was a balanced game. It was a tough watch. I mean, you and I follow Man week in, week out there in Stockholm. So I'm still trying to get with the whole watching the Millwall video. It's, you know, if you weren't more emotionally invested in it, you probably wouldn't choose to watch our games at the moment, Doug, would you?
No, I must admit, we have a live game here anyway from one of the championship games, and it was Forest and Wickham. And I kept glancing up and watching that yesterday. There wasn't an awful lot to watch in the Millwall game.
Yeah, and yet we are defensively solid, although I did think the defence looked a little bit flaky yesterday. Do you think tiredness is playing a part? It's a relentless schedule at the moment. Do you think that's a valid reason to account?
I thought the back three with the ball coming out of their feet were... I mean, Woods as well had a poor game, and I thought usually they can come out with a ball and they just looked dangerous. You just thought they were going to lose it every time they came out with the ball yesterday.
Well, I mean, something I don't like, and I want to get your opinion, because I think Woods is a man who divides opinion a little bit. But increasingly, last couple of games, I think against Norwich in the week, I don't know if you saw any of that, but certainly yesterday.
Yes.
Certainly yesterday, teams seem to be running at our defence, and we are backing off of them, allowing them time and space to shoot. And, I mean, Bart performed some miracles yesterday at times, in especially in the second half, much closer in, but we just seem to be giving forwards on the opposition side time and space to have a go at our goal. I don't get what's behind that.
No, it's a strange lineup, because the fullbacks don't ever seem to be anywhere near when they come in, and it means both the centre halves have to pull out and sort of covering the runs as well as the guy with the ball, and they seem to do that to about 10 outside the box, and then one of them starts going towards the forward, and it's probably too late. Like yesterday, he got a shot off, which was when the right side of the post for us, but could quite easily have gone the other side.
I'm sounding like I'm moaning, and I want to you're a Millwall fan of many, many years standing, so perspective is that, you know, is always an essential thing, isn't it, when in any conversation between Millwall supporters. We are sitting ninth in the table, and as tough a watch as yesterday was, you know, we've only lost twice this season. So, you know, you have to keep that in mind, even though the spectacle wasn't exactly brilliant, was it?
No. The weird thing is, I mean, the formation we had, Bennett just, I mean, he barely touched the ball. And
no,
there was a lot of space out on the left-hand side. And I know it was more of a 4-4-2 type thing yesterday, but you just think with the 5-2-3 or whatever he's been playing, that somebody out on the left would have made a bit of difference. But it's also the same issue. I mean, if Jed doesn't play well, we don't play well. And he did not play well yesterday. I wasn't surprised when he went off.
No, he's having one of his bad days. I think he carries the burden of a lot of the creative kind of input for the side.
I like
Bennett, but again, he looked a little bit lost. Matt Smith looked lost because there was no service coming into him. It's sometimes hard to get your head around the mindset of a football manager. I mean, Wallace seemed to be pulling more centrally yesterday, for me at least. And
yes, he did. Yeah,
that's not where he's at his best, Duck, is it? I mean, you know, he's a wide right kind of player, and that's where he seemed to do most of his damage.
Yeah, I thought we looked more dangerous when Mahoney came on and actually played wide. Yeah, well, you know what I'm trying to say, yesterday.
Yeah, I was accurate cross for the ball, Mahoney. Again, another player that is inconsistent to match the side, really. A number of errors. I mean, I'm just going to put these down. I mean, Murray Wallace is normally pretty solid, but he was playing as a central defender, apparently, yesterday. Again, errors from Murray. And then Hutchinson seemed to be having a bad day as well. I know we can all have a bad day at the office, but I'm just wondering whether this schedule, this you know, midweek Saturday schedule is finding out the cracks in the squad a little bit. It's not one of the biggest squads in the division, is it?
No, I actually wondered, because the team he put out against Norwich was slightly weird. I wonder if he almost had that down as a game that he thought we'd lose, and he put all the fringe players out. But it didn't seem to work yesterday, did it? I mean, they all looked like they played three games in 3 days yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, I one of my notes to myself here, I put, we look hungover, like we've been out on the beer.
No, we did. Before.
You know, a pub team that had been out on the sulks the night before, and they've got to play the next day, you know.
Bart was probably the only one that came out with any sort of positive comments, but I thought the rest of them, you wouldn't have noticed if any of them weren't on the pitch, to be quite honest.
No, and Bart made three pretty important saves at the start of the second half. You know, there's a few chances for Mill peppered through the game, but then three pretty close range shots on target. On another day, one of those would have gone in, and it would have been a tough ask to get back into the game. The international break is coming. I think it's probably coming at a good time. I think there needs to be a general refresh in the side. 2 weeks, 2 weeks off, isn't it? 14 days off to the next league game. Won't hurt any of that squad at the moment, Doug, will it? I mean, they'll look pretty tired.
And maybe if Parrott comes back, I mean, we looked a different situation or proposition when we had Zahor playing up front.
And
if we have a goal threat with a bit of pace, which Bennett usually gives us, didn't yesterday, but if we have that, you never know.
No, Woods is an intriguing player in midfield. He frustrates. I mean, I think that's probably the one word I took out of yesterday's game, was a very frustrating day at the office. But do you like him, Ryan Woods, or where do you sit?
I think with him we actually look better if we've got, when we're playing well, and he gets a little bit more space where the rest of the defence aren't pushing up on him, whereas yesterday when we were under pressure, he didn't have much time on the ball.
No.
And I think he looks better going forward, but I just don't think two central midfielders is working. We seem to get overrun too much.
2 weeks off, maybe we can sort this out. The return of Troy Parrott, I mean, I know we mustn't pin too much hope on the shoulders of a 17-year-old, 18-year-old, whatever he is, but we do need some flair up front. I wanted to get your view, Doug, if I can, on Ben Thompson. Not even in the squad yesterday. Started in midweek up at Norwich. Was it Wednesday, wasn't it?
He started well, didn't he? But he faded very badly.
Faded. And not even in the squad today. I probably, you know, repeating what everyone listening to the show knows already. I don't think Gary Rowett fancies him particularly.
You don't really see any other Championship teams coming in for him either, which probably tells you something.
No,
he will go to Portsmouth or somewhere, won't he, if he does go somewhere?
Well, if he goes, he'll go to Pompey, I think, because he, you know, he, I think he's a Millwall boy, but I think he likes to be loved, and maybe he'll come good again at Pompey where they do love him, you know. Has he reached the limit? Is as a player, is he at his limits? I mean, he just doesn't look championship level to me. I mean, that's probably a tough thing to say on a Millwall show, but he just doesn't look like he's quite at the level that we need.
No, and I don't think the formation we play suits him either.
It's an unsentimental business, football, and certainly Gary Rowett doesn't seem to fancy him. So a screamer of a chance for Smith, which you, 9 times out of 10 you'd expect him to get late in the game.
Yes.
77 minutes he heads wide from a very poor header, really, for him. I mean, again, I mean, as much as we rave on about Matt Smith, a top goal scorer, I mean, you've got to be clinical, and really top players only get one chance, don't they? And they take that chance, and that was a hammer yesterday.
He wouldn't be a Millwall if he was a top player. If he was
like all of them, if they're any good, they wouldn't be at the Den. Oh, yeah.
But no, I mean, it's. I think you're right on for Premiership players, but Championship players, I think they do need the ball a little bit. And I mean, let's be honest, he barely saw it yesterday.
You've got to give Matt Smith 3 or 4 chances in the expectation that one of them will go in. And I think that's not a bad rate of return at our level, but we weren't creating that number of chances, were we? Not for him anyway. My highlight yesterday, Doug, came when my laptop, I forgot to plug it into the power and it ran out of power, bang on 90 minutes. So I missed the last 5 minutes of injury time. There's a little
Did you not see the afters as well?
No. So I wanted to get your take on it. Because all I've done is read about it. I didn't see it. The thing went dead on me, so I had to follow the rest on Twitter. There's a little bit of pushing and shoving, apparently.
Yeah, there was I think it was on Wallace. It was a slide tackle that they didn't actually show it in slow motion, so you couldn't really tell. But from a sort of funny angle, I wouldn't have been surprised to see a red card come out. But it didn't, and obviously Rowett got upset with it, and there was a bit of pushing and shoving afterwards.
A few words apparently said as well. So
Sub, who came on with looked like Sam Allardyce with a wig on. I don't know. About the same shape as well, wasn't he?
I saw him. I mean, I think like a home haircut he'd had done there. I mean, his missus done that for him. I saw him, but then it faded bang on 90 minutes, and the rest of it I had to follow on Twitter. So that would have been the most interesting part of the afternoon for me, if that little bit of pushing and shoving.
I think it was, yeah. Didn't even have Carl Bates falling off his chair this time.
So. What do you make of Rowett? I mean, do you like him as a manager? I mean, he's certainly got us performing at a level,
Yeah, I mean, we're playing. That comment the Luton manager came out with last year with Neil Harris about sort of we only one team play the right way. He did have a point, and we're now playing the right way, I think. And let's be honest, we're looking up, we're not looking down, which under Harris we would have been looking down. He's improved the squad. We've got better players in there. And I think he seems to be able to get better loan players.
Yeah, I agree.
Achtung, Mehlball.
The Lions King is the title of a new biography of Millwall's greatest goalkeeper, Brian King. With 339 appearances for the Lions from 1968 to 75, Kingy played with some of the most iconic names in Millwall history, as well as the England squad of 1974, managed by Sir Alf Ramsey himself. Kingy's biography is available at www.littlehellbooks.com. Littlehellbooks.com. For £19.99, and it's essential reading for any Millwall fan, or for that matter, any football fan too. £19.99 at www.littlehellbooks.com.
Achtung, Mehlball.
We'll return back to my conversation with Doug shortly, but first I wanted to play you these voicemails that I've received from show regulars Harry, Warren, and Mike Hayden. Over to Harry first.
Well, another 0-0 draw. I mean, defensively, we're fine. We've got a very good left wing back We've got a very good right wing back, but we've got two shit people in the midfield that don't create anything. Everyone looks at the strikers. Yes, we've given them one chance, a gilt-edged chance for Matt Smith, who's missed. But, you know, taking Jed Wallace and moving him from his right midfield position, his best position, and playing in the middle for an hour and then wondering why he doesn't create anything is a bit like putting Matt Smith into the back four and wonder why he gets turned quicker than fucking milk. It's frustrating. We need a Jimmy Abdul-type runner in the midfield that breaks things up. And we need that thing that no Millwall fan likes. We need the show pony attacking midfielder that's going to create. What we don't need is a hybrid of the two running around in the midfield like headless chickens. We lost the midfield battle today. We had no possession of the ball, but we should win that game 1-0. Bart, again, is fantastic. We all know that. But the chance for Smith that he fucks up is the difference between getting promoted and not getting promoted. So, yeah. I don't know that. I know they've got no money, but there's surely got to be some fucking Liverpool loanee or some Spurs loanee to run between the lines and actually put balls through to a Parrott or a Bradshaw. Or maybe go and get Malumbi and show a bit of ambition, Millwall. But there we go. Can we all describe as well that Izzy Brown should have been sent off for his challenge, not just for the yellow card of the challenge, but also then swearing at the injured player, which I think is why it all went off at the end.
Another drab match. Lucky to actually get a point in the end, but how did Smith fuck that chance up? It was almost like he was right next to the goalkeeper and he tried to head it back to pass or something. He was like, what the... All he had to do was nod it in. That was the chance. We just don't create any chances. It's boring, isn't it? It's boring. We need a striker. God, we need a striker, don't we?
Agree on Jed Wallace. He plays his best football when he's got him and Romeo overlapping. How dangerous have they been? You know, that was the source of a lot of our goals in recent times. So to give him this free roam, it just didn't work. He was not effective. He couldn't stretch. And then actually most of the attacks came down the left with Malone, who did his best. I mean, he's a decent player. But yeah, it's drab. I mean, the thing is, when you play that formation, your two midfielders aren't, I guess, necessarily expected to create, because you should have the striker, two wingers, sort of attacking midfielder, so forth, in that space. But they just sit. But I like Leonard, but he's not. He's one of those players where he's not outstanding at anything in particular. Like, you know, he's a solid player. Woods is much more of a... sits in front of the back four and sprays balls. I mean, it sounds like we're crying out for Ben Thompson again. I mean, he's the more of the bit more of the kind of creative, rip-roaring type player, but he won't play him. So, I don't know. There's problems in this side, I think. But we're ninth. You can't complain about that, but we're a long way from being a top six side, especially without a striker. But hopefully Parrott might actually be fit soon. But who knows if he's any fucking good or not. We'll see.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Achtung, Mehlball.
Doug, I wanted to touch on your location. You're based in Stockholm in Sweden.
Yes.
You've been out there for a few years now, mate, haven't you, one way and the other? You've been there for a while.
Coming up to three, but I've worked for a Swedish bank anyway, so I've been coming out here for about 30 years on and off.
Two things. Obviously, we're all under the lockdown here at the moment. I mean, from what I've read, and I wanted to, as you're on the spot, you know, Sweden gets kind of varying coverage over here. On the one hand, it's felt to be the way we should have gone, and others say it's not been a kind of shining example that some crack it up to be. I mean, do you have a lockdown equivalent there? How does it work?
Absolutely not. There's some, like you're going to certain pubs and there's, well, you've got three tables, two of them, or one's got some sort of cover over it, so you're not allowed to sit here. But pretty much everything's working. I mean, I think they've just shut some of the gyms. But, I mean, I've been sort of, you wouldn't really know if you walk around Stockholm that anything was happening. No, nobody wears masks.
Is that a social distancing concept, or is that an individual?
No. It's funny, you sort of go and pub, start having a few beers with your mates, and you're sort of 12 of you sitting, you know, standing around and quite a good distance, and after two pints you're all standing belly laughing next to each other and
in the traditional style, you know.
Well, exactly. I mean, yeah, if you're gonna really, with this COVID, if you want to stop it, you need to stop people drinking in pubs. I mean, let's be honest, that's where you're gonna pick it up.
Well, I mean, this is it. I mean, we have this conversation a lot of the time, and over here, and obviously in the summertime it was relaxed, and you could go to the pub with, you know, the 6 foot distance around, all that kind of thing.
Yeah,
I said the same thing. As soon as you've got your two pints in, or whatever your tipple is, two glasses of whatever you're, that's all gone out the window when you're having a good time and you're laughing and, you know, whatever your thing is.
We tend to meet up on a Thursday. There's a few English guys getting one of the it's actually a pizza place, but he doesn't mind us just sitting there and a drink. And
right.
There's 12 of us usually. Only last weekend, 8 of them went for a curry. So this week there was only 4 of us there. They've all picked it up. So
I suppose it's a different idea of maybe your personal responsibility, I suppose. Would that be a good way to sum up the Swedish attitude? It's up to you.
I think so. But I mean, don't forget, it's a massive country with a lot less people in it. I think I'm right saying it's the highest single person dwelling in the world. So most people live by themselves. You haven't got three lots of sort of kids, parents and grandparents and stuff living in one place.
It's not cramped like central London, then.
No, not at all.
Sense of people on people. No.
It's more of a sort of a Norwich or a Brighton-y type feel.
Okay.
But I would say mentally, it must be so much better here. I mean, we can go out and do stuff. It's
I mean, we were saying just off air about the football, and I presume that's continued in the same way as normal, Doug? Is there a crowd?
No. I think it's 50 people per game. So the, I think it's the top three divisions don't play, and below that you can still go. They do play, but you can't go.
They're behind closed doors.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Right. But the divisions below that you can go.
How do you find Swedish football? I mean, you live near one of the clubs, you were saying.
Yeah, I live by AIK. It's I'll probably get slaughtered here by the locals, but it's probably very low championship or high division one, I think. There's a few good players. You've got to see Seb Larsson and people like that still floating around. It's probably not as quick as the championship, I don't think. But the skill level's there. There's some good players, but not lots and lots of them.
I mean, rather like Holland and Netherlands. I mean, most Swedish players travel abroad to make their career, don't they? I mean, you start
in
Swedish football and then travel to the bigger centres, you know.
Yes, Zlatan being probably the best example of that.
Well, so, you know, just for those that have never been, that's me, listeners, by the way, I've never been to Sweden. I mean, what's the atmosphere like at a Swedish game? Is it comparable to an English match? Is it a raucous event?
The three Swedish teams, there's three big Swedish teams, and probably there's more singing, although it is a bit more Crystal Palace-y type, unless when they get together, then it's a little bit lively. But, you don't tend to get a lot of travelling support. So if it's a Stockholm derby, then yes, it's a bit lively.
You would do.
No, I mean, the local, I think it holds 50-something thousand. Oh, and that can be full up.
They've had European Championships in Sweden before now, haven't they? A World Cup once upon a time, I believe, as well. So,
yeah, 58 was the World Cup.
58, so yeah, 58. It's a hotbed of football in that sense. I just wanted to congratulate you. Before we started the show, listeners, I said to Doug, I don't know how long we're going to get out of this conversation from yesterday's match, and we've actually got 20 minutes going there. So I think we've done really well, Doug, between us to get that
match. There's some adverts out there. You've got an hour, look. I've got one comment for you before we go.
Oh, go on.
What, Husky's taking over, isn't it? Why have we been wearing red and white yesterday and not the yellow kit?
Well, I don't know if I can answer that question. I think that would be because they have a motor racing side, don't they?
Why were we not wearing the yellow kit yesterday? Husky are obviously sort of becoming more and more of an influence, which actually is a Swedish company as well. But there we go.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, I presume that's a tie-in with their motor racing colours. I mean, I don't know. It's not,
yes, it is, yeah.
Not Formula One. It's a Formula 2 or 3 or something of that kind.
Yeah.
I guess it's that. But I mean,
I wonder how long before that's the second kit. Maybe even the first kit in a few years.
Possibly. I don't mind it. Do you like it? I thought it was quite a nice...
I'm not most Millwall fans. I don't tend to buy many shirts, but look, it's fine. It's fine. I don't think I'll buy it. But, it's decent enough.
I'm going to run a few comments I've picked up from Twitter past you, Doug, whilst I've got you on the... You're not on the phone. We're on Zoom, listeners. I can't ever shake the idea that we're talking to each other by telephone, but we're not. We're talking by Zoom. So, Dan Poor, shout out to Dan Poor. Mill strikers have scored two goals, as in the strike force. They've only scored two goals between them in the opening 11 games of the season. That's one goal every 5.5 games. One for Bradshaw and one for the now injured Zohor. I mean, that's quite an indictment, isn't it?
Somebody put out yesterday, I can't remember who it was, I saw it at half-time, about I don't think we'd scored a goal in all of our away games at half-time. I think the only goal that had gone in was Wickham, that scored against us, which I thought was interesting.
We scored late against Preston, didn't we? We won one up there, but I suppose I can't remember when those goals were. I think they were in the second half.
Yeah.
Johnny Suntan, what a great name, Johnny Suntan. Love that name, Johnny. Johnny Suntan.
He doesn't live here, that's for sure.
he says, Conor Mahoney must always start. I'd take him over Jed any day of the week. Controversial opinion from Johnny Suntan. I mean, I think Conor Mahoney has the potential, Doug, to be a great player, but he just doesn't seem to unlock the secret room that gets us there every week. Does he?
He does seem not to play well on the left wing, from my perception of him, and we keep playing him on the left wing, and he came on yesterday and played on the right, and I thought he looked a lot better.
Yeah, and maybe,
but I'm not sure he gets in front of Jed for me, to be fair.
No, I think that's harsh, Johnny. I suppose if you've got Jed, then you've got to start Mahoney on the left, or he's got to come on the left. But then I wouldn't take him. I mean, Bennett is best on the left, Doug. I mean, I think I prefer him to Mahoney on the left, but there we are. We're going to go around.
Bennett's got a bit of pace, hasn't he? I think that's...
And he gives a shit. He's got a little bit of an edge to him. I quite like Mason Bennett. I think he's got something. Whereas Mahoney does look the kind of languid... you know, easygoing type on the wing sometimes, but
you do sometimes see Bennett sort of covering for the fullback, whereas I'm not sure you see Mahoney doing that.
Dan Wall says we badly need this international break. I agree with that, Dan. The whole team looks knackered. 2 points from two away games we'll take, but no shots on target in either of them is embarrassing. Let's pray Troy Parrott is good. Actually, we don't know that, do we? We've seen hints that he might be good, but we don't know that. Otherwise, we're in trouble. I don't know that we're in trouble. I mean, I think we've got enough not to, certainly to finish mid-table. We shouldn't be any lower than that.
I think if we'd have got an early goal yesterday, I think they were there for the taking as well.
Yeah, and we had chances. So, I think there's a slight overreaction in some of this. But Dan would rather have Zahor on one leg than Bod or Bradshaw. That's harsh, isn't it?
I'm not going to argue with him, but...
Yeah. Long John Silver with a crook under his arm. Jake Sanders, no shots on target, making the same point in three goals. About goals isn't good enough, but perspective is needed, says Jack. This was Mill's seventh game in 21 days. Only one defeat. A hectic schedule right now, so 2 points off the top six and five off of the top isn't bad. Parrott's return is needed. A crucial common point there, I think.
I don't think many people are thinking we're top two anyway, so we're actually not that far off of where we think we should be on.
I agree.
I mean, it's not great, but it's not. I mean, we've had a lot worse, haven't we? Let's be honest.
Well, actually, that leads neatly into my next point, and next 2 points actually, and this will wrap us up. But Richard Harris, not the actor, I don't think. It's Richard Harris. he's dead. Isn't he? Richard Harris says we're about where we deserve to be. We'll spend all season between 8th and 12th, maybe a week in 6th, but never threatening to stay there. But then early last season, we were relegation fodder and we've improved, says Richard Harris. And then this is Millwall, making the same perspective, Doug. We're a small budget side hanging about the top 10. And then you contrast us with Derby County, who spent fortunes year after year, even buying Wayne Rooney, and they are bottom of the league. We're doing all right, chaps. I think that's probably... Perspective never really excites the Millwall mentality, though, Doug, does it? You
know, no, I think he was saying... I don't know if you follow Bermondsey Boy, but yesterday morning he was saying about God, he misses Millwall and stuff, and then after watching it, he straight away came back with, I'm just glad I'm not coming back from bloody Sheffield now.
I was thinking that. I think I probably would have gone to that one yesterday if in normal times. I think fancy being stuck at Sheffield Station now with a long train ride home, you know, not going to get back to about 10 o'clock at night. So I think sometimes the iFollow does save you from something, that's for sure. Oh, there we are. Doug, it's been a pleasure speaking to you again, mate. Thank you for taking time out of your Sunday morning.
I don't know
what the Swedish is for have a good day and have a good international break, but let's keep in touch and we'll speak again soon. Doug Hume, ladies and gentlemen.
Take care, Nick. Thanks.
Thank you for listening to Aston Millwall. If you enjoyed the show, please head over to Apple Podcasts and leave us a cheeky little review. However, to Aston Millwall, till next time.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.